No Film School would like to thank Blackmagic Design, Adorama, and My Road Reel for sponsoring our coverage of NAB 2018.
Hello and welcome to Indie Film Weekly. I'm John Fusco.
I'm Andy Zoe.
And I'm Charles Hayne.
It is April 12th, 2018, and on today's episode, special live coverage from NAB 2018.
We're in a hotel room.
We're sitting here in room...
The Plaza Hotel.
Plaza Hotel, room 910. It's become our second home over the past 3 years. We've stayed at the Plaza every time.
So you hear that, stalkers? If you want to murder No Film School reporters or behind-the-scenes people...
And be able to leave our carcasses in a hotel room for weeks without being discovered.
Yeah, no one will notice.
The Plaza is where to lurk in the lobby and wait for us to walk by and shiv us.
Yesterday, we were coming back from dinner, and there was a security guard in front of the elevators checking the room cards to make sure that we were guests, stopping
everyone.
Well,
it seems like you can pretty much... it seems like the rule of thumb in Vegas is if the door is open, you can walk anywhere you want.
Yeah, I mean, even if the door is closed, you can walk into it, I'm sure.
I'm actually going to say that's kind of the rule of life. If the door is open, you can walk in.
I think it's a little different here in Vegas.
I don't know, but it's also a good, to segue a bit into filmmaking, that's a good mindset to have for filmmaking.
You yeah.
know? If the door is open, go in there and take advantage. And...
So can we transition this to NAB?
I think we can because, you know, one of the ways that you can take advantage of, you know, your position as a camera op or someone who's got a little startup gear rental house of your own is you can go to some of these trade shows and you can meet some of the representatives that are representing their brands and you can start to make connections that way and you can maybe... get a little free stuff if you wanted to. Get a little free action.
Yeah, I got a free hat today and a keychain combination bottle opener screwdriver from Miller.
Oh, really? Because EVA1 Panasonic also has a combination keychain screwdriver for like bolting on your tripod thing, which is my favorite swag of the thing. Miller's doing it too. I guess that's the swag of the year. It's the keychain tripod.
Yeah, somewhere out there, the keychain makers are making a killing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the filmmaking tool set is a popular one for
swag. Oh, yeah,
swag.
Tilta last year had that screwdriver that you could get your name written in. I thought that was a good one for
Tilta. Oh, that's really cool, yeah.
Well, they would do it right there for
you? Yeah, they had like a laser engraver at the booth.
Oh, that's special.
But even if, you know, swag aside, like if you make connections with these representatives and you tell them that you have a gear house and you tell them that maybe you could help them out with some exposure, especially the smaller companies, which hopefully we'll be exploring more as NAB continues to unravel. And unravel is a key word.
Unravel as it falls apart.
But, you know, you can really talk to them and maybe you can get some free gear out of it, which is pretty cool. Or at least you'll have that connection to maybe use some of their stuff on your project experimentally.
It's also a good reminder that like a film career is a long-term thing. Like the head of ARRI or the head of ARRI US or whatever got up and he was like, this is my 40th NAB at the ARRI event last night. And it's like, you just keep going to these things and meeting people and who knows how it's going to play out. Maybe in 12 years, you're going to end up doing a movie together. Maybe in 20 years, you're going to end up renting something from someone. But like you go to just sort of gently meet people and maybe make actual friends.
Yeah, I think so.
Truly, you will not meet a more dedicated group of, you know, film and, you know, broadcasting nerds here because that's the entire technological hub of the industry kind of meets here once a year.
Absolutely. And, like, if you've been at NAB for the past couple of days and you've come up to us, we're wearing these No Film School logo shirts and I've heard a few people say that they've had some nice things said about the site.
Yeah, we got accosted in a good way. We've had multiple people come up to us and be like, yeah, we love No Film School. We had one person from Padcaster, which I think...
Yeah, we interviewed them last year.
Yeah, a New York-based
They're like Airbnb for locations, right?
I am not
am
sure.
Am I wrong?
No, Padcaster makes accessories for shooting yourself with your phone more easily.
Never
mind. In any case, they showed up with a phone rig, and we're like, hey, can we get like 30 seconds out of you? And me and Nick begrudgingly replied yes.
Yeah, I was in somebody else's video blog. The guy from Blind Spot was like, hey, man, I've been in your thing. Will you be in mine? And like, like his dad, who is super cool as well, like had a little, was the camera operator and had a little GoPro Osmo rig. And I was in the like, and he interviewed me.
And then afterwards you interviewed him again because you're like, how was that experience interviewing me? And yeah. It went on forever.
I've been in the press room for the majority of the past 2 days, so I haven't really seen anybody or had that experience.
Before we move into products, we can all agree the press room food has been better this year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
There are donuts in the morning.
Oh, yeah, they have Krispy Kreme donuts.
I did not really partake much of the given breakfast food. I went downstairs and got myself like a sausage egg platter.
There you go.
I went to Whole Foods and got a bag of six hard-boiled eggs for every day of the thing. So I'm just eating my hard-boiled eggs for breakfast. But I like that there are donuts there for everyone. That's like a real welcoming thing, press room NAB.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, too, about eating because, like, you know, we've talked about how hard it is even at film festivals, when we've done our film festival coverage, how hard it is to remember to eat and to like find a good spot. And NAB does a good job of like hosting their press. I'm going to say that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out NAB press room, Dan.
So yeah, I mean the general layout of the NAB convention, I was trying to like think in my head how many square feet or how many square miles that convention center actually is. Do you have any idea?
No idea.
It's massive.
Miles? It's a big spot.
Yeah.
I don't know about square miles.
With South Hall upper and lower, it might hit a square mile. Hall's massive.
And we haven't even been to South. We haven't really been to South Hall yet.
I swung by today for three booths.
Was there any good VR around there? Or? That's North Hall. Okay.
You've been to North Hall,
right? I have not been there yet. I've been told that I will be sent to North Hall to engage in some VR activity.
Maybe tomorrow. We don't want you to go there because we know Andy is just going to end up spending all his time playing with the VR stuff.
I will go on my dedicated missions and I will return to home base.
That's true. You're knocking them down.
I am not some renegade maverick.
So then in terms of the layout, like what is in the central hall, what's in the south hall and what's in the north hall? Is there like any dedicated gear for each spot or?
I would say central hall is a lot of the hardware brands that we're familiar with, whereas it seems like south hall has a lot more post-production.
South hall is post lower, and then upper is all those weird people who are spending billions of dollars that we don't quite know what they do. It's like Cisco is there and all sorts of companies with like people in business suits doing like deals for satellite distribution. And then like Tangent doing panels and stuff, and Avid is up there, but South Hall lower is post, Central Hall is production, North Hall is VR in the future.
There you go. So speaking about the future, I mean, one thing we like to do every one of these podcasts that I've been on for the past 3 years at NAB is talk about sort of what kind of trends are we seeing develop at NAB, because really that's where you can get a glimpse at the future of the industry. What do you guys think?
So what I've been calling this year, and I don't have a pithy short name for it yet, but like last year's theme was definitely Cinema Glass, right? There were like 19 companies doing Cinema Glass. 2 or 3 years ago, NAB was all about 4K. Like there's always years. This year's theme for me is combinations. It's like small HD is all about like, oh, we have a monitor and it's also a wireless receiver. And there's like six versions of that. And I feel like the Bright Spot guy, the Blind Spot guy, Patrick, I'm going to keep getting your company name wrong. He has like a thing where he's like, oh, so it's like, it's a light that goes on your camera, but it can also power your camera. So it's like everything this year is about like, are you tired of having three batteries? You can only have one. Are you tired of cabling? No more cables.
Small HD was doing something where the battery powers the monitor and your camera, which I find bizarre.
It's bizarre, but it's awesome because then you're only worrying about charging one battery, right?
You're right. No, you're right. I guess I just would never have imagined that people would have designed it going in that direction as opposed to the other. You know, have the camera power the monitor.
Well, but if you think about it, it's really smart because like the A7S or like I shoot with the Fuji X-T2, you always have to take it off the tripod to change the battery out.
You are right.
Whereas when you've got it all rigged up, your monitor's out there in the open. You can swap the battery out there, right? And then, like, Arri is now doing this thing where their focus motors are also receivers for like wireless follow focus. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this year, sensors don't feel that different from last year, except for the EVA one. Like nothing feels that different from last year, yeah. But it's all like, oh, let's take four things and smoosh them. I'm going to call this the smoosh year.
That's a good, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You got it.
This is smoosh year.
You smooshed that right up, actually.
Yeah, there we go.
So wait, speaking about smooshes, one of the things I saw in a video that I was reviewing was the Jigaboom. Did you guys, did either of you cover
the,
that?
The Digiboom?
The Digiboom.
Oh, the from Red Rock?
Yeah.
Was that you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we covered that.
So wait, what, is that kind of what we're talking about here? Because I've never seen anything like that. I didn't even really understand what I was that looking at.
It's a fairly niche product.
Can you explain? Can you explain what it is?
So for those of you out there, the Digiboom is basically, as simply as I can put it, it's a boom pole with a gimbal on the end of it. So you can put a small, like a micro cinema camera or a GoPro on it. On the end, and lift it very high in the air, and it will stay level, or lift it low to the ground. And the sell that they had for it was that, oh, this is great for sports. You know, you can run around, go low, go high, get above the action very quick. A lot of different, you know, sort of use cases you're supposedly be able to do with it. The main selling point was that they have sort of jerry-rigged on it tons of wires that sort of come down from the gimbal down to where your hands would actually be. So basically, if you had something like a micro cinema camera, you could access all the controls from it on your hands. So you would, and you could have a monitor close to your face as opposed to having to, you know, take the whole thing down every time you want to just check the monitor or adjust some settings.
So that makes it a smoosh.
That's a smoosh.
Yeah. Because you got the monitor there, all the cabling's all done for you. That's a smoosh.
And it's on a boom pole.
Yeah, so wait, it actually records audio.
Yeah, it had like a sound devices mixer strapped to the bottom of it because you can get XLR inputs in the bottom. Truly, I guess when you put it that way, it truly was a smoosh of a product because I looked at this thing and I was like, oh, very little of this, at least that I saw, was proprietary to Red Rock. You had like a sound devices thing down here, a small HD monitor up here, all the controls come down. I was like, you took a bunch of different products and just put them on a long pole so you could have your camera up in the air. It was what it was.
Exactly. So, Charles, has there been any specific smoosh that has stood out to you just while we're talking about these smooshes?
Well, my favorite smoosh, because you asked before, you were like, what are the favorite products you've seen this year?
Right.
And there's two, and one of them is a smoosh. The other is not. But one of my favorite things I've seen this year, Aputure had the super secret Aputure dinner last night, and they showed off a light. And last year, everybody I talked to at NAB, every light manufacturer I talked to and every color meter manufacturer I talked to, I said, you know what I want? I want a color meter that automatically syncs with my light so that like if I'm shooting outside, I can just set my color meter on a stand. And as the sunlight changes color, sunsets or whatever, the light automatically changes color with it. Just make that happen. And I said that to everybody last year, or actually I said it to Hive and Illuminati, but whatever. I said it to two people last year.
Word passed along.
Well,
Charles wanted something.
Yes. And then Aputure, who I didn't say it to, magically heard that somehow, or actually 90 other people said it. And last night they revealed a light at Aputure because they don't have anything RGB. Aputure's whole thing has been power. The 300D, big powerful lights. And last night they were like, here's our RGB, and it's got a color meter, and it can built-in sync, so you can like point it at a TV, and then it'll replicate the lights that the TV is going, so you can use it for a TV gag or a sunset gag. You can also record what you're doing and then play it back later. You can also use it to drive sky panels, so you can like hook it up to your Macs. And I was like, that's legit cool, and they think they can do it for $600, and it's a smoosh.
$600 is really surprising for what they're offering.
Yeah, if it really lands at that price point, it's the best smoosh I saw this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the competition will have to really... I mean, Ari, I guess, is not the type to undercut. They will probably have a... I guess I'm just trying to think about all the other market leaders and what their response would be. Ari would probably not try to price under. They'd make a very premium model.
No, because Ari, they also announced they've sold 46,000 sky panels, so they're doing fine at their price point.
Yeah.
But I think that Ari needs to team up with, like, Siconic or Illuminati or someone and have the ability to sync a sky panel with a color meter, or they need to build their own color meter. One of the two.
But, you know, we're talking about four indie filmmakers. Like, Aputure deserves a special shout-out, I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just finished watching. We're coming out with this video. It should be out by the time this podcast airs, but it was your interview with, what's the name?
Ted.
Ted. And he really, like, they've really been focusing on making these products that they've heard demand for indie filmmakers, and they're doing their best to price them at an incredibly low rate.
Yeah, like,
it's really awesome. This Aputure light that you're talking about, does it, it comes with a pen, right? You're talking about
it comes
like,
in that little pen is a color meter.
Yeah.
So you like point it at a color and it will replicate that color.
Right.
So like if you want, like the classic thing is a TV gag. TVs aren't bright enough to light your actor's face. So usually you have like a TV in frame and then out of frame you have a light and you've got like a poor grip who's like trying to shake it or whatever to look like
make
the TV.
Flicker. Yeah.
And so it's like this way, you just point that thing at the TV and then the light will match the color and brightness of the TV, but be bright enough to flash on a person's face from out of frame.
Are you saying it'll dynamically change intensity as well? It'll match?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was just color. The fact that it will real time match whatever source you're pointing it at is incredible.
Yeah. Now, they won't tell me how many times a second it samples, but whatever. If it's like 10 times a second, 2 times a second, it's going to be...
I can imagine flickering being a problem, sure.
Yeah, totally. But like, it's exciting.
Yeah, I heard one of our camera ops, Nick, was talking about it last night.
Yeah.
And he said another anecdote they used was like, oh, this sunset is nice, but what I really need, you know, I don't need a Hollywood sunset. I need a Fiji sunset. And you can actually like... point to a Fiji sunset with this pen thing, and you'll get that Fiji sunset.
Now, would DPs just walk around with pictures of beautiful vistas and just point the pen at the picture and be like, this is the color I want to see?
Or, in another theory, you can take the pen with you when you travel and annoy your loved ones by being like, I got to record the color of the sunset.
Oh, man.
And that's then great. You keep a bank of like, here's my Fiji sunset.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, hey, here's the sunset from our honeymoon. And you can recreate that at your anniversary with this light.
That is so romantic, Charles.
I'm a romantic guy.
All right. Well, then, Andy, what do you think this moving on from the smush? What would you have to say?
Smoosh.
Smoosh. My apologies. What would you have to say is a trend you've seen this year?
I mean, last time I was here was 2 years ago, so I skipped a year. But I think both times, and in going with that theme, I just feel like the thing that I noticed the most is the evolution of the lighting technology.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I missed a camera year last year. I'm not sure.
No.
But
no, you didn't.
But yeah, it's like gimbals, they're kind of, you know, industry is maturing. It's like gimbals used to be hot and exciting, each new one. But now it's like everyone and their mother's making a newer, smaller gimbal. But LEDs continue to be getting smaller, lighter, more powerful. Now, there was one that we saw that was radio controlled. You could have a remote and you could control it. And there's one that is just made out of LEDs sewed into fabric, and it, like a 3x3 sheet of fabric that's just becomes a giant soft source, but it can fold up and fit in your backpack. Those are the things that I think I noticed the most as far as, I'm not sure if I would call that the whole theme of what I get from the entire event, but the LEDs are definitely the thing I noticed the most.
No, I think, I mean, lighting is something that can continually evolve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even 2 years ago, I started to get... After 4 days, I started to get a little bored on the floor because I was like, okay, another lighting guy. We're going to see these panels. They got low. You can power with them batteries. They're low wattage, high CRI, bicolor, dimmable. And it's like every single one is kind of, you know, similar. You know, different price points, build qualities and stuff. But I think it was refreshing to see this year and they were still managing to innovate with, wireless controls and different fixtures.
Yeah, I can say, like, in terms of what I've seen in the videos that I've been reviewing, like, generally, over the past couple of years, it's been sort of hard to find stuff that is really interesting or, like, really gives you that wow factor. But I've been seeing a lot of that this year. And I think a lot of that has been through, like, the tricks that lighting have provided. It's been a pretty good year, I think, in terms of seeing some exciting new products. But
I think it's nice because it is such a relatively competitive space. You know, it's an LED. You know, an LED. How many different ways can you put an LED together to make the light better? And with so many competitors, there's a lot of upward pressure on innovation.
There was, cameras and lenses are generally like the sexiest items for our readers and our listeners. And there is one, I think, camera that we should point out that is brand new. And
pretty much a couple months.
No, brand new.
Which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema camera.
Oh yeah, no, doy.
I thought you were.
Oh, I take back the doy. But yeah, the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema will be big.
It's going to be big. I mean, it's...
$12.99, including a Resolve dongle.
Yeah, and that resolved dongle is
$299. Yeah. Yeah,
so you're really getting a camera for what, like
$1,000,
$1,000, and resolve. And I'm not just saying this because Blackmagic is like one of our sponsors. I'll give you full disclosure on that fact, but it really is like one of the more game-changing cameras I've seen.
Game-changing. To use that word,
shitty term.
Well, it's also, there's a lot of like nice little details. Like I picked it up on Sunday because we were doing that pre-interview, and like, you know, I don't shoot a lot of self-start stuff, but I've done a little, and like hitting the record button is tough when you're holding the camera to point at yourself. And so they put a thumb button there because they're like, oh, a lot of people are using these to shoot themselves. So we had them hold it, and we saw we should give them a little thumb button on the front to press record when you're self-shooting.
Wow. I guess they're specifically going for a lot of vloggers then, I would guess.
Well, I think they're just accepting that a lot of people are vlogging, and a lot of people I think are vlogging with their cameras. Like, for instance, the only thing I've ever shot myself with is my X-T2, which I've also shot jobs with. Uh-huh. So it's like accepting that a camera has a lot of different jobs and like making it easier to vlog on a camera that also shoots raw for $1,000.
Yeah. But Andy, you didn't actually tell us what your favorite thing you've seen so far is. Do you want to throw that at
me? Favorite thing so far. Let me think. I really did like this. I mean, it was unfortunately like $3,000, but I did like that LED fabric. It's, you know, everyone's got... You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, sort of bendable, I forget what they're called. Like Roscoe, I think, has those like light, they're not light panels, but...
There's like tile, light mats.
Yeah, these little things you can sneak around. And this is essentially a giant fabric version of that, where it's like, oh, it's not as rigid as those. It's dimmable, bicolor, you know, but it's just, you could cover an entire wall with a light in something that you pull out and roll out from your backpack. And it'll apparently, you know, have a top-notch CRI. You know, nobody here is, I think, advertising anything below like 90 CRI anymore as far as LED quality goes.
I have a second favorite thing as well.
Okay, what's your second favorite thing?
So, and this was actually something where clearly he'd flagged down this other guy. I'm sure you guys all also read New Shooter. Dan from New Shooter is now at Atomos. This guy had flagged down Dan, and Dan was clearly like, I have other things to do. Hey, Charles, come over here. And there's a guy who is like building Cinema Primes. Full frame Cinema Primes, open to a 1.5, showing him out of a book bag in the aisle. Oh. And so, like, Dan just passed him to me, and then he was, like, pulling these lenses out of the bag and showing them to me. He's like, these are full frame Cinema Primes. I'm making them. It's great. And they're called the Spirit. I have no idea if they're any good. He had them set up on an A7. They don't breathe at all. Zero breathing. Like completely breathless lenses.
I mean, that would be impressive. I mean, I'm surprised that if he had chops, I assume, you know, some lens manufacturing company would want to poach him.
Well, no, he wants to do it on his own. He is like a strong, independent spirit.
Strong, independent.
So independent, he didn't even want a booth.
Yeah.
So independent.
But he also had the lens cut in half, so we could like look through the inner workings and stuff. And he was telling me how it was better than Sony in these ways. And like, it was a legit, like... It was the kind of thing you don't get outside NAB. I'm sure he doesn't have a website yet. I'm sure he doesn't have, like, he's just like a guy with a dream.
Phone number, maybe.
Yeah.
Off the grid, this guy.
And a book bag. You know? And it was like, that's a pure NAB moment.
Yeah, one of the things we love at NAB is coming across these, like, super weird items, I'd say. Like,
yeah.
And you guys like them, too, from what I can tell in the video view counts. But what I think... Andy, you found something that
was highly ridiculous. We saw it and we were like, well, we have to get this on footage even though we can't take this product seriously, which was what these Chinese manufacturers had assembled, essentially what looked like a PL mount for an iPhone. And they had I can't recall, but it looked like a Canon like Cine Zoom attached to the front of it.
Yeah, it was a Cine lens.
Yeah. And we just had to get it on camera just to take a look at it, even though I wouldn't trust that product at all, you know.
So there is no PL mount you would use for your iPhone?
if Ari came out with a PL mount, then maybe I would consider
it. Was there an optical element, or was it just like a PL mount, and then you're shooting like the middle tiny part of the lens?
See, I didn't even care to break it open and find out. I would bet on there being no optical element.
So the crop factor is intense on that one.
The crop factor would essentially be
infinity.
0.1.
And how did the footage, like, how did it look on the phone?
Oh, blurry as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was shit. Let's say that.
But yeah, you're allowed to say it. But
it might be apparent from the video. I think someone has told me that my complete disdain for the product.
We had to cut your outro because you're like, oh, well, this is completely ridiculous. Thank you.
Because I, you know, on some level, I saw the product and I know, oh, you know, and I saw the team there and it's like, yeah, this is some cheap knockoff product from China. And there's probably dozens of others doing the exact same thing at NAB themselves. This was just the first one we saw that was funny to us, and we took a look at it. But otherwise, it's like, no, don't trust that product at all.
We should check it out. I mean, the reader should still check it out because it's pretty funny. I mean, it's just a comical image, this huge-ass lens on a tiny iPhone.
Could you even hold the phone? Or I guess
you did ask that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's not truly a serious or a bad question because there are plenty of cameras that you would use where you mount the lens instead of the
body. If you're using a 1,000mm lens, yeah, you stick it to the lens.
It makes sense. You know, I just found it funny that there were like handlebars on the side of this plate that the iPhone was mounted to. And I was like, what are these handlebars for? Is anyone supposed to actually hold on to it by this part of the frame? I guess if the lens was not a cine lens, then possibly.
There was one great YouTube comment, which was like, moment killer. You know, like the moment lens?
Yes. The actual well-made, like well-engineered, well-thought-out iPhone lens adapters. Like, yeah, moment killer. That's a sick burn.
Yeah, that's a sick burn.
Oh, I had another favorite product that's a smoosh.
What's the other smoosh?
ProRes RAW. I'm going to call ProRes RAW a smoosh.
Oh, yeah. We should talk a little bit about ProRes RAW. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not too versed on it, but you went and visited.
Yeah, so we talked to Atomos. And we tried to find a time to talk to Apple, but maybe it'll still happen. You never know. But it's a smoosh of bare sensor data, right? Like if you're kicking raw out of your camera, which the EVA1 kicks out and the Sony lines all kick out, you're sending out raw bare data, which is like, they call it sensils instead of pixels. So it's just like the raw information.
The reds, the greens, and the blues.
Yes.
All coming out.
But they're all coming out like all arrayed together, not like split into their separate red, green, and blue channels the way they are with normal RGB. So they're all wrapped up in each other. So they smooshed together the sensil data and the traditional ProRes codec. So it's the traditional ProRes codec, but it's the traditional ProRes codec applied instead of pixels to sensils.
Instead of to the Bayard image, to the debayered image, it's just like
to the Bayard image. The standard ProRes codec we've all been using for 10 years. It's a smoosh.
Is it a ProRes HQ? Like what
there's ProRes Plane and ProRes HQ flavors available. Files are smaller than like RGB ProRes's are.
How is that possible?
Well, because Bayard data is actually not like, because it's one signal. It's one channel. It's not RG and B. It's not three channels. It's a single channel.
I don't know. I guess I am not versed enough in that to know why that makes sense.
I think Charles is the only one here that's versed enough to understand.
I don't know. I thought I used to be able to wrap my head around.
You got some studying to do, Andy.
I guess so. It's a single channel.
You got to go to smoosh school.
And I guess everyone should study up on ProRes because really one of the things that I took away from that Atmos interview was that companies haven't really created the cameras that can have this output yet?
Well, so only over SDI, right? Okay. So there's already like 50 or something cameras that can do RAW out over SDI. I don't have the full list. I don't know if you can get ProRes RAW out of all of them, but like Sony already has the FS5 supporting it, EVA1. There's a lot of other coming out. But nobody's putting RAW out over HDMI, and there's no real reason not to. So it'd be like, oh my God, if the Sony A7S III happens, which it will, if that gave out RAW over HDMI and you could do that to ProRes RAW, world killer. Smoosher, like smasher of other cameras.
A smoosher smasher.
The smoosh smasher. So, yeah, I mean, like HDMI RAW will be big. I don't know why you don't do that.
The HDMI protocol or something to do with?
I mean, the argument Atomos is making is they're like, no, like it's just sensils instead of pixels. You just trick HDMI into thinking it's sending pixels, but you send sensils.
Well, they're probably one of the first to really like try and push the technology forward.
I mean, I think they are the first. Yeah. I think they are pushing it the hardest. The impression I get is that they really were pushing Apple to be like, hey guys, someone needs to do a format and you have this ProRes thing and we think we can work with you. So I think Atomos and Apple worked really closely. Mm. I mean, for instance, in the Apple release ad was an Atomos product, and Apple does not put other people's products in their ads very often.
Yeah.
So wow. I think that Atomos was one of the real like forces saying like, let us keep going on this.
The real ninjas and shoguns.
Well, that's definitely something to keep in mind if we're talking about trends in the industry.
Yes.
For any filmmaker. And we'll also try and get some Apple stuff going over the next couple of days while we're here. I'll try.
Yes.
I think I can wrangle someone up.
Yeah. And I have a hard drive I need to pick up from Atomos because they're going to give us a bunch of ProRes RAW samples.
Oh, awesome.
Ooh.
So there you go.
So we'll have that up on our site.
With our hands.
Be on the lookout for that ProRes RAW. Okay, well, we're going to keep it short and sweet because we are pretty exhausted. It's a really massive undertaking to get what we're trying to get done. And for that, I got to thank everyone who's been involved because like we have an amazing team this year. Our editors are killing it. Our shooters are killing it. Our writers are doing okay. I'm saying that looking at a writer. I'm kidding. They're doing awesome. Producers are killing it. And, of course, our lovely hosts, Andy and Charles, are killing it, as well as Matthew Bell.
Who's asleep right now.
Who's asleep right now. Good. Preparing. It's like 8 p.m.
So. Hey, the night is still young, let me tell you.
And we hope you guys are enjoying the videos. Definitely watch them. You'll learn a lot, I think, about like where the industry is headed and what you should be paying attention to in terms of gear. Because there's like going to be 80 videos, so you'll find something in there. So yeah, thanks Charles. Thanks Andy.
Thank you, John.
For anyone,
our pleasure.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't understand any of this tech babble. Indie Film Weekly will be back next week to our regular schedule, our regular sort of outline. And until then, you know, follow No Film School at No Film School. I'm Jim_John_Jim on Twitter.
I'm CYJACKX on Twitter, on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I'm at Charles Hain on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Wow. And subscribe to the No Film School podcast. We have a really great new podcast called The First Feature, which Ryan Koo, whose first feature dropped last week, Amateur, it's out now, so watch it if you haven't.
On Netflix.com.
On Netflix, yeah. It was spotlighted in my Netflix, which was pretty cool. But also a little bit scary, since they might know he's my boss somehow through an algorithm. Listen to that. That's on Wednesday. We'll be back with another interview on Monday. Thanks for listening. See you then.